I know our topic for the month has been Fruit of the Spirit, but I'm going to take a little detour in celebration of Father's Day today and teach a Father's Day Sunday school study. Amen. I'm so grateful for God's mercy and His grace and His love. I tell you, when God gives you favor, you know, the way the world says it is, it's better to be lucky than good. That's how the world says it. You know, it's better to be lucky than good. I say it's better to be saved than lucky. Amen. Because when God is in your corner, there's almost nothing that can go wrong. Amen. Even the things that look wrong, God can turn it around for your favor. Amen. And for your blessing. And I am so grateful for the Lord's love and His mercy, because He's just been helping me out on my job. Although the devil would like to bring negativity, He's helped me to find favor with the persons who count, with the people who count. And that's the only thing. You know, the other people may snipe at you and want to say, what's he doing there? Why has he got that job? Why has she got that position? I could tell them, but they wouldn't believe me. It's Jesus, it's God. Amen. When you have God in your life, when you have God's favor and blessing, you don't need anything else. Amen. Amen. So today we are going to have a Father's Day lesson. And this is one that I taught, I believe it was 2012 was the date I had it. I might have taught it in between. But you know, the thing about us is we don't learn until we hear something several times. So at least that's me. You got to repeat it several times. So if this one is one that you remember, then drink it in again. I tell you what, when I find good food, I keep ordering the same stuff. Do you know that? Amen. I'm scared to, especially when I'm hungry. And if I go to a restaurant, I want something that's going to hit the spot. I don't want to take chances and then get something I don't want, you know, and ruin a waste of an appetite. So I usually order the same food at certain places all the time because I know that that's going to work. So, amen. And this is the story. This lesson is based upon the story of the prodigal son. But unlike most of the other messages and studies you've heard about the prodigal son, this one focuses not on the prodigal son but upon his brother. And you say, well, how could that be? There isn't much about the brother. Well, there actually is quite a bit about the brother and the father. And if you remember the end of the story, after the prodigal son had come home and the father had made a big deal of it, put the ring on his finger and brought the robe and killed the fatted calf, you know, the son who had been faithful and stayed home and worked and hadn't partied and hadn't, you know, obviously, if you were in his position, how would you feel? I've been here all this time working in the church. I've been doing everything you said, Pastor. And I don't get anything. I don't get any special commendation or, you know, remarks. But when everything was said and done, here's what the father said to the oldest son. And it's really profound. And that's what I'm going to teach about today. He said unto him, Luke chapter 15 and verse 31. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Amen. All that I have is thine. And at first we may think, well, he got to go off, spend all your money, come back, and you still made a big deal about him. So we're going to see something very profound in this lesson. And when I taught it before, and I'm saying it today, there was two things in the Old Testament that a father could give: the birthright and the blessing. The birthright and the blessing. And they're not the same things. So if we go back into the story, and we're going to look at the story very carefully, Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And you see, I've got the word divided highlighted. Does anyone remember why? Sounds about right. Two sons, you divide it between them. Is that what you would do? Right? If you got two sons, you would divide your inheritance. So nobody remembers why. Well, that's good then. That means I should teach this. Well, in the Old Testament, that wasn't actually how it was supposed to be done. Anyone can tell me how it was supposed to be done? Sister Kim. What about the oldest? You're on something, but you haven't quite spelled it out. Sister Johnny. Yes. Under the Old Testament system, it wasn't just divided. Do you remember what I said? If you had two sons, how many portions should it have been divided into? Three. Three. And so the oldest son got how many portions? Two. Two. So if you had two sons, it should have been divided into three, according to the Old Testament. And the oldest son normally got two portions, the double portion, showing that he was the inheritor. Now, where do you remember that double portion coming in the Old Testament? Elijah and Elisha. Now you understand why he asked Elijah, I want to get a double portion, because he wanted the mantle of inheritance. The double portion wasn't just about being the material, but it was it signified that you were in the line of inheritance, that the leadership passed to you. So when Elisha said to Elijah, I want the double portion, he wasn't just speaking about, he was wanting to claim the spiritual leadership for Israel. See, and so in this case, it looks at first like the father here didn't do the right thing, because he just divided it. He didn't do it in three. And he divided unto them his living. Well, let's go a little bit further. And the word there in the Greek is diario, and to divide into parts, to put, to tear, to cleave, to distribute. So at least on the face of it, it looks like he just split it in two. And that would have been typically unfair, because the older son was supposed to get a double portion because of his birthright, because of being the firstborn. And many times we look at our lives, and you know, after being a Christian and serving God for many years, coming to church faithfully, doing the right things, you know, contributing to the church, and it seems sometimes that the rug just gets pulled right from under us. Instead of things getting better, we get into financial hardship. We lose a job, we may get a foreclosure notice, or our house may be in trouble. And it seems as we've been working all this time in the vineyard, and it seems as if the Father has not given us the portion. Amen? It seems that way sometimes. I don't know about you, sometimes it seems that way to me, right? We see David said in the scriptures, if I had kept my eye on the wicked, my foot would near slip. It seems that the people who do the worst, who carry on the worst, who try and get away with stuff, it seems that everything goes right for them. Everything comes up roses for them. And you trying to do the right thing and come to church and do the right thing, it seems that things always seem to be going bad for you. And this was the case with the older son. He had stayed faithful to the father. He had worked in the field, whatever he had asked him to do. And yet, here comes the younger son before the time now, asking for his inheritance, and the father gave him half, it would seem. And as I said, in the Old Testament, there were two things that were given by a father: the blessing and the birthright. Does anyone remember what the difference between the blessing and the birthright is? Okay, let's look at what it says in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 15, and this is in the New King James Version. If a man has two wives, one loved and the other unloved, and they have borne him children, both the loved and the unloved, and if the firstborn son is of her who is unloved, then it shall be on the day he bequeaths his possession to his sons, he must not bestow firstborn status on the son of the loved wife. What the under the law, it didn't matter if you didn't love this one as much, you had to give it to the firstborn. That's what it's saying. Then it shall be on the day he bequeaths his possessions to his sons, this is speaking about the birthright now, that he must not bestow the firstborn status on the son of the loved wife in preference to the son of the unloved, the true firstborn. So he was saying if the wife he didn't wasn't so much his favorite gave birth first, he couldn't play favorites with the birthright. He was still supposed to give the double portion to the son who was born first. Verse 17, but he shall acknowledge the son of the unloved wife as the firstborn by giving him the double portion of all that he has. For he is the beginning of his strength, the right of the firstborn in his. So under the Old Testament, no. Two different things. I'm talking just about the birthright now. The birthright, as I'm going to explain, actually every son got a portion. We're talking about the birthright now. If you were born into that family, you got a portion. But the firstborn got a double portion. So if you had four sons, you had to divide your inheritance into how many? Five. That's right. And the firstborn got two portions. This is very important. Everything in the Old Testament, you know God did it for a reason. Did you know that? So in looking at how God set this up, you know it's got a fulfillment in the New Testament somehow. Amen. So the firstborn was supposed to get a double portion. This is the birthright. This is separate from the blessing now. So the birthright was the material stuff. It was the land, it was the cows, it was the sheep, it was the goats. It was the material stuff that the father had. Whatever material stuff he had, he was supposed to divide it and in such a way that the firstborn, even if it was from one of the wives he wasn't so crazy about, because of being born first, got it. So the birthright is about things, material things. You know why I'm laughing? Because I'm thinking about my children. And as it is right now, if I was to die, they've got all they've got all they got coming. By that I mean they've been getting it now. They've been asking for their inheritance now, and they've been getting it for several years. There isn't anything much left to divide at the will. When it comes to the material, they've been getting it now. I think, I don't know which one of, I can't remember, but yeah, well, I won't even involve my children. All I'm saying is I'm laughing because there isn't, you know, they're all like the younger son. They've all asked for it now, and they've been getting it for many years, so there's not much of the birthright left. Amen. Amen. But the birthright is all about material things. It's all about the houses, the cars, the lands, and whatever. So it was the material things that everybody got. So let's look a bit more. Every son, because he was born into the family, though, by right had to get at least one portion. Just because he was born into the family. It's the Father's Day we're talking about today. So by right, every son got a portion. But the firstborn, as I've said, was supposed to get the double portion. So when Jesus was telling this story, although most people focus on the fact of the prodigal son, and that's mainly what the story is about, there's another little backstory that's going on here. Because in the parable, the father didn't divide it in three. At least it didn't look that way. He only divided it in two, which would also explain why the elder son was even more upset. Because by right, the younger son shouldn't have gotten half. He should have only gotten a third. Okay? Now let's look at this. In the Old Testament, Genesis 48, verse 5. When Jacob was getting on in age and about, you know, where he could have died at any time, when Joseph came out of Egypt, he brought his two sons with him. Now, of the 12 sons of Jacob, who was the oldest? Who was the firstborn? What did you say? Reuben. Yes, that's right. So how come we don't hear much about Reuben? Wasn't he supposed to get the birthright? He was supposed to get the birthright. And maybe in a way he did, but also in a way he didn't. Let me show you what happened. Do you remember that Joseph, who wasn't the firstborn, where was Joseph's birth rank? He was the firstborn of Rachel, but he was also of the 12. Where was he? He was 11th. But you know, God gave him a dream. And in the dream, what it symbolically meant, he saw his brothers bow down to him. And so it turns out that in this case, for a reason, God changed the order, the birthright. Now, how could this be gotten around that it ended up Joseph getting the birthright? Well, it couldn't have been done legally in the real sense, because according to the law, and even this was before the law, but this tradition predated even the law. So look what happens to enable Joseph actually to get the birthright. Remember, he had two sons. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee, are mine. Do you understand what Jacob is doing? He is adopting his grandsons as his sons. So that's why Israel has 13 tribes. Because instead of the tribe of Joseph, it's usually split into Ephraim and Manasseh, which were actually the grandsons of Jacob. But you see what Jacob is doing? He blessed them and actually adopted them and claimed them as his sons. So now they're 13 sons. But two of them belong to who? Joseph. So when the inheritance is symbolically given, Joseph ends up with how many portions? Well, certainly he ends up with the two because of Ephraim and Manasseh, because of the fact that they were adopted. So you see how it was gotten around, because God did not want the birthright, in this case, to go to Reuben because of the things that Reuben had done. Because of the things that Reuben had done, the way it was gotten around is Jacob adopted the two sons of Joseph. And so they got a full portion where they shouldn't have, technically, it should have just gone to Joseph. It is in the form of the dowry. And you guys who went to the ladies' conference, you heard about that, because God came up with a way even around that, and that's so important too, the daughters of Zelophehad, right? Who went to the ladies' conference where they taught about that? And this all is related to that, and I'll get to that, but they would get it by marrying in to the family. They would get the inheritance that way. So we see that this strange thing happened where Jacob adopted his grandsons, and so symbolically, Joseph ended up with two portions. Because the two grandsons at the division got a portion each. And so symbolically, Joseph got the birthright. Joseph got the birthright. But who got the blessing? Remember I said there was two things a father could give. He could give the material things, which was the birthright. But there was something else that was even much more important. Much more important, which was the blessing, which was the spiritual leadership. Let's look at this. So the blessing, the birthright is all about the financial, the physical, the goats, the sheep, the land, the cows, the everything. But the blessing, that's so much more better. That's about God's favor. That's about God's abiding presence. That's about God's lifelong guidance. And that's about future inheritance. Jacob himself was not the firstborn, was he? No, he was not. He was not the firstborn. But he cheated, well, not cheated, negotiated Esau's birthright. Remember, he sold him the what? The lentil soup, the pottage. But he still was not supposed to get the blessing. But at the time when Isaac was about getting old and wanted to give the blessing, what happened? His mother said, hey, he's going to give the blessing. He's going to give the blessing. This is much more important than the birthright. I want you to go and do what? Kill two goats. And I want you to make a covering. He didn't deserve the birthright. But actually through a blood sacrifice and a covering, when he came before his father and he felt the covering, he received the blessing. Do you understand how that applies to us? We are not born Jews. We did not deserve this birthright, this blessing. But because someone died on Calvary, and if you have the covering, when you come before the Father, he's going to say, well, you sound like Jacob, but you smell like Esau. We have the son, the Father's covering. The Son gave his life so that we can obtain from the Father the blessing and the birthright. Amen. Because Jacob wasn't supposed to get it. He wasn't the firstborn. He wasn't the firstborn. But you see how even in the Old Testament, God had laid plans and made it possible so that even the ones who don't deserve it, through a blood sacrifice, through killing two goats, that's the sin offering, isn't it? That's the sin offering. Killing two goats and putting the skin as a covering. Jacob, who didn't deserve it, what does his name originally mean? A supplant, a trickster, con man. That's what Jacob means. But after he got the covering, after he had travailed, God changed his name. Amen. When you come to God, once you've got the covering, he will change your name. When you've gone down in baptism, you come up a new creature. You have got the covering. You can go to the Father and you can receive not just the birthright, but the blessing. See, so the birthright's about the carnal stuff. But the blessing is the spiritual leadership. So the difference between the blessing and the birthright is, number one, you get in the Father's presence. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Genesis 25:6, look at this. Abraham, he had sons of other wives. He didn't just have Ishmael and Isaac. He had a lot of other sons. But look what he did. He gave them their portion, and he sent them away. They got the physical portion, but they didn't get the Father's presence. Do you see that? He sent them away. And unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son, because Isaac was going to not only get the birthright, but the blessing, which is the Father's presence. You know, you can have $1 million, but if you don't have the Father's presence and guidance, you just go out there and blow it. Many people who are not used to handling money, they suddenly get a big sum of money. In a year, it's all gone. They never had any guidance, someone to tell them, no, you don't do this. This is foolish. So we see that the blessing is even superior to the birthright, because it involves the Father's presence. Let me go back one slide. It's about God's favor. It's about God's abiding presence. It's about God's lifelong guidance and a future inheritance. So the difference between the blessing and the birthright is you can have the birthright, but you may not have the Father's presence. Going back to the parable, isn't that what happened? The youngest son, he got a wad full of money, but he did not have the Father's presence. And so what happened? It didn't matter how much money he had. Eventually that stuff went away, and he was left worse than he had been when he was with the Father. The rich young ruler. And he didn't understand the value of what he was giving up. You know, Jesus said, go sell all you have. And he put more value on the birthright than the blessing. I tell you, when God says you are blessed, he says to the church of the Philadelphians, he said, I place before you what? An open door. And no man shutteth. Doesn't matter what the world says about you. When God says, I place before you an open door, nothing can stop that. Nobody can take that. It's got your name on it. You just have to wait upon it. When Jesus says, I place before you an open door, when you have the Father's blessing, you don't have to worry. Amen. So we even see here where Abraham sent his other sons away. He gave them the birthright, their portion, but still they didn't have the greatest thing that mattered, which was the Father's presence and guidance. So the birthright is a right. So the birthright, you could say, comes by the law. It's the law that makes the birthright. You know, it's not about fairness. What makes someone who happens to be born first better than someone's born second? Nothing really. It's just the law, right? So the birthright is by law, but the blessing is by grace. It's unmerited. It was the Father's choice. He did not have to give it necessarily to the firstborn. Now, the birthright he had to give to the firstborn, as you saw in Deuteronomy. We get there. We're going to get there. We're going to get to there. Just be patient. See, the birthright is by law. You just have Israel by right should have been God's firstborn, right? They, to them, were the oracles of the law given. That's what Paul says in Romans. To them came the law. To them was the Messiah. So by law, they should have the birthright. But God is so good. By grace are you saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So the two things were the blessing and the birthright. And the one that was the better one was the blessing. But it didn't look so. It doesn't look like, okay, I'm going to pray for you. And this is what you're going to get, the blessing. Well, where's my stuff? As I said, when I got married, my brother just brought from America. I got married in England. My parents were here. And I was getting married. And the present that they brought was just a Bible. No money. Where's my stuff? Where's the money? But inside of that was a blessing. It said, my mother had written on the cover, seek ye first kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all this other stuff you don't have to worry about. Amen? All this other stuff you don't have to worry about. See, God is so good. Let's go on. You see, the blessing is by grace. John 1:13, which were born. Now you're talking about adoption. Not of blood. Is that what does it say? We were not born of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but simply God's grace. That's how we get into this thing. That's how we get in. We become heirs and joint heirs with him. And it's not a matter of the birthright. It's not a matter of the fact that we were born Jews. We are not. But you're going to see how this works. Do you see how both the birthright and the blessing in the case of Jacob and his sons did not go to the one who by right it should have gone to? The birthright went to Joseph, and God engineered it in a way so that his two sons got adopted, so they both got two portions. And then we're going to see where the blessing went. Anyone know who the blessing went to? Who the spiritual leadership went to? No. No. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Judah. And that was entirely by grace too. Judah messed up too. He did some bad things. And so you'll see For 10 generations, there is no leadership from Judah. For 10 generations from Judah until who? Who? When does the promise, the blessing that Jacob laid his hands on Judah and said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah? David. You know, under the law, if you committed certain things, you had to have 10 generations pass, and that was absolutely fulfilled. Because you hear nothing, no more leadership from the tribe of Judah for 10 generations until David. We'll see. So we see that this birthright thing and this blessing thing, the blessing is by grace. John 1:13, which we're born. We were not born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Most of us, you know, what a beautiful day. We could be down by the lake. Could be in our bed. This flesh doesn't want to come to church sometimes. Let's just fess up to that. Amen? Nor the will of man, but of God. Jesus said, you didn't come looking for me. I came looking for you. You may not realize that. You may think you chose him, but he said you didn't. Them disciples we'd never have heard of, they'd have still been in their boats if he hadn't walked by the shore and say, come, follow me. But here's the thing. When he does say, come, follow me, the choice then is on you to respond. Amen? We have a birthright and an inheritance that many of us are not even checking out. We're not living according to that birthright and inheritance. Romans 9:10 says, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, just to show you, God determined ahead of time that the two nations that were going to come from these two children, Esau and Jacob, were going to be by his election. Not that he hated Esau. This is not about Esau and Jacob. It's about the nations. When he says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, he wasn't speaking of them personally. He was speaking about the nations. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works. I mean, Jacob was not a good guy, really. He was a cheater. But God was going to show something through this, that we are saved by grace. But when God does choose us, we do have to respond. We do have to respond. Let's look at this now. Let's go back to the parable. So what did the elder son get then? What did the elder son get? Luke 15:25. Now his elder son was in the field. He was in church working. You ever seen that? Somebody, you've been in church 20 years, someone comes in, gets saved, and all kinds of good things start to happen for them. You know, they get miracles, they get jobs, cars, houses, land. God, what about me? I've been here in the field working for you all this time, and Lord, don't forget me. Now, his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. What's going on here? And he called one of the servants and asked, what these things meant? And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. You know, I can imagine the situation. This was just normal. This guy took all your money, and blew it on riotous living. And the moment he comes back, you set him back up again. Amen. I think I would be a little bit put out too, wouldn't you? You see, he didn't realize something. The eldest son didn't realize. I'm telling you that you don't realize something right now. There's something you don't realize, or you haven't really let it get into your system. And you're looking at the world. You're looking at other people and their blessing and how good things are seem to be for other people. It always seems to be other people that are getting blessed. Other people getting the birthright. I'm telling you, there's something that the eldest son did not realize. There was something that he didn't realize that he had. Amen. Watch this. And he answering said unto the father, lo, these many years, all my life I've been coming to church. And I pray for this, I pray for that. And it just doesn't seem that it happens for me. It happens for someone. Look at this person. They just came in church and look at all the blessing they got. They got a new job. They found someone to marry. Everything's going. And look at me. I've been asking you for this all my life. Lo, these many years I do serve thee, neither transgressed I. He was able to say, look, I did everything you asked me to do, Father. Remember, this is Father's Day. And yet thou never gavest me even a little goat to go have a party with my friends. Sometimes it feels that way, doesn't it? Come on now. Be honest. Sometimes it feels like all the blessing is going over there. It's like there's a cloud with rain just follows you about. You move over here, and it's raining over here. You move over here, and it's raining over here. Yet there were some things that the son did not realize and could not see that the father had got for him. Amen. Number one, which he didn't realize how important this was, thou art ever with me. Do you understand what he was telling the son? I'm always with you. I'm always with you. We don't understand what that means. It doesn't matter what some people get financially. If they don't have God, it means nothing. Do you understand that? It means nothing. It doesn't matter how rich they are or how it looks. Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. Jesus told another parable of the rich man and the beggar. The beggar never got his blessing during his life, did he? He was always a beggar, sat at the door. Nothing good ever happened to him until the time of judgment. Some people, some Christians will be like the elder son here. It will seem as if they're not getting their blessing, that there isn't any inheritance. But hang on now. In Malachi, it says there was a book. A book of remembrance was opened. The angels are writing it down. They're seeing every tear you shed. They're seeing the times when you prayed and cried out to God. They're writing it down. They're writing it. This happened before in the Old Testament. Did you know that? Mordecai. He saved the king's life. And then it was just forgotten about. But it was written down in a book. One night, the Lord God troubled the king, and he says, I can't sleep. Bring the records. I want to go back over some history. And they brought the books, and they started to read the story of how Mordecai had saved his life. And suddenly the king said, wait a minute. Was anything done for this man? They said, no, king. He said, I can't believe. You mean nobody gave him anything or blessed him? Do you understand God's got a book written down? It says so. Right now, we don't see the difference between those who are call upon the name of the Lord and those that don't. But there's a book of remembrance being written down. Every time you have been faithful to God, every time nobody saw what you did, it's being written down. God is not going to owe you anything when it's done. Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard what God has got in store. And I'm telling you, it's a mystery. It's going to be such a shock and a surprise. It's going to be better than anything you could have ever dreamed of, heaven. Paul said, I saw things I can't even put into words. It's not lawful for man to speak about. You know, we only have a little bit of a glimpse, but words cannot be put into pen that can describe what God has got in store for you. All you have to be is the faithful son. All you have to do is keep doing what you're doing, and don't think that God isn't writing it down. Malachi says there was opened a book of remembrance. I might not see when you've been praying for somebody, but God does. So number one, the one thing that the elder son didn't realize was so big and important was he had the Father's presence. Now, let's see the difference of having the Father's presence and not having the Father's presence. The younger son went away, and he had everything that life could have wanted as far as money, except one thing. No father's presence. So what happened to the money? Gone. It doesn't matter how much you financially get blessed. You don't have God's presence, it's worth nothing. 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 Zero. Zilch. So the first thing the son had to understand is, you have me. Jacob, at the end of his life, in Genesis 49, when he was about to die, he said this, for the one who has been my shepherd my whole life long. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, when you don't have the Lord, you have truly nothing. When you have the Lord, you truly have everything. I don't really need anything. Really. I mean, really, I don't. I mean, I want stuff. Who doesn't want stuff? Let me know. But do I need it? No. I have enough suits. I have enough ties. I have enough shirts. What do I really want? My wife keeps saying, well, what do you want? I said, well, I don't know. I tell her things. She says, you already got? I said, yeah, well, I can honestly tell you, I don't need anything. I do need to lose weight. But I don't need anything. God has provided. I'm not rich. But what do I want? I mean, let me say need. I don't need anything. I honestly can't tell you of anything that I really need, because God provides. Because he has not left me alone. Amen. You may think the younger son has it good, but if you have the Father with you. Genesis 49, look it up. Jacob said, God who has, the angel who has been my shepherd my whole life long, he will never leave you nor forsake. So number one, he had the Father. Now, a lot of us, when we look at it carnally, we'll say, yeah, well, I know God is with me, but, God, what about this? You know, I need this shirt, this dress, this shoes. I know you're with me, Lord, but there's some things I need. Let's work on. Let me explain something. When he said, thou art ever with me, the Father also told him something else. Anyone remember what the next thing the Father told him? All that I have is thine. Think about that a minute. Think about that. If God told you personally, all that he has is yours. You might not have got it yet. But if God came and told you, all that I have is yours. Number one, I'm always with you. So you can't lose it. Secondly, all that I have is yours. You know, it never really hit the son, the elder son, what the father was saying. He probably never really looked at it that way before. Think about it. All that God has is ours. What does God have? Can anyone name, put it in a box? Can you list it? Can you write it down in a book? Can you write down what God has? Paul said, whether within the body or not, I don't know, but I was caught up to the third heaven, and I saw things that were not lawful to be even written down. I'm telling you, heaven is going to be better than you can even imagine. Number one, the Father told the Son, all that I have is yours. He got the material things, but don't you understand, there's a lot more than that. What does the Father have? Well, the Father has the heavenly kingdom. All that the Father has. Do you understand that heaven is ours? Now, we don't have it that we can walk in right away, but it's ours. That's a future expectation. You stay laboring in the vineyard, you stay in the house, you're going to inherit eternal life. But you know, remember now, I said that there were two things the Father could give. He could give the blessing and the birthright. And even when under the law, the birthright should go to the oldest, we can see how God worked it out in the case of Joseph by declaring, having Jacob claim his two sons, that in the end, the tribe of Joseph ended up with two portions because they counted the two tribes as if they were directly sons of Jacob. So the heavenly kingdom, of course, is one portion. But since we are supposed to be a child of the king, and since God is going to do something special like he did in the Old Testament, remember now you said something about adoption. Do you know what Jacob did? He adopted Joseph's sons so that they could obtain not only the blessing, but I mean they could obtain the birthright. Do you understand what Jesus has said about us? That we have been adopted. He said when he rose, I no longer call you friends, but I call you my brethren. Because I'm not going to treat you anymore as just friends, but you are my brothers. We are heirs, and we have been adopted into the heavenly family. Do you know that? If you came here today with a very downcast, depressed attitude, you may have been feeling like the elder son, thinking, man, God, I've been praying, I've been seeking you, and nothing good is happening. I'm telling you, number one, you have the Father's presence. Amen. Number two, he has told you that everything he has belongs to you. Everything. But that's only one portion. The heavenly kingdom's only one portion. Remember, there's supposed to be two portions if you get both the birthright and the blessing. Let's look at this. First of all, the church is called what? Hebrews 12:23. To the general assembly and church of what? Let me say it again. The church of the... So the firstborn needs to get two portions. Isn't that right? If you're in the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, according to the Old Testament too, you are supposed to receive two portions. Well, heavenly kingdom is one. Heavenly kingdom is one. It says to the general assembly, the writer of Hebrews calls the church, us the church of the firstborn. We have been adopted just as how Jacob adopted his grandsons as his sons so that they could obtain the double portion, the tribe of Joseph, so to speak, could obtain the double portion. God has adopted us into the heavenly family and called us the church of the firstborn because we have been born again. When you have been born of the water and of the spirit, you have become the firstborn of the church of the firstborn, amen, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Hallelujah. So we are joint heirs. So if we're in the church of the firstborn, heaven is our first portion. We always have the Father, amen. He said, everything that I have is yours. So we know that God right now controls heaven, doesn't he? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we own the heavenly kingdom because God controls that. And he says, everything that's mine is yours. Son didn't understand that he was going to inherit everything that was there now was his. His. We don't understand that we walk around like we are nothing and nobody. We let the devil lie to us and depress us. You're a child of the king. Yes, Romans 8:20 says that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. Waiting. We are in the waiting stage. We're waiting for the revelation, for the redemption of the sons of God. Amen. That's what's going to happen. We're going to come into our inheritance. Do you understand that the Bible is, the New Testament is called a new testament. It's a new will. Somebody wrote our names in this new will. We get to inherit. Amen. Doesn't that make you happy? If you believe it, give God a praise. Amen. It's a new testament, a new will. Under the old one, we had no part in this. But as it said in 1 John, not born of the blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, but of God. We have become adopted. Spiritually, God has placed his hands on us and said, you become my sons. Do you understand what that means? We get a portion, but we get more than that because not only are we the sons, Bible says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know. Do you know? Are you certain? Can you claim it? But we know when he shall appear. See, we shall be like him, for we're going to see him as he is. I'm telling you, it can't come too soon for me. Amen. It can't come too soon. When we were in the world, we were just like the prodigal. We were wasting away everything that God had given us. We were wasting away our bodies in all kinds of stuff. Stuff that killed our temple, desecrated our bodies. But now, the Bible says, we are washed. We're made clean. He has, so to speak, just like Jacob, laid his hands on us and made us part of the heavenly family. If we are joint heirs, then, where's our other part of the inheritance? Well, here it comes. Here it comes. You see, and I said this Thursday, so it's becoming one of my favorite scriptures again. Revelation 12. See, right now, God controls the heavenly kingdom. But on earth, he's allowed men to run rampant. He's allowed the devil to kick up dust. But we know it's not going to be that way forever, is it? Oh, no. Oh, no. As I said Thursday night, one day, the angel is going to say, put his foot on the sand, put his one foot on the sea, and declare there won't be no more delay, no more holdup, no more waiting, no more sorrow. He says, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms. Let me just give you the scripture. And the seventh angel sounded. Sorry, it's Revelation 11. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord. Do you see what happens? We get both portions. We get the heavenly and the earthly. Amen. Because all that the Father has is ours. Amen. If you are part of the church of the firstborn, not only you get the blessing, not only do you get the blessing, but when you are born again into the church of the firstborn, you're going to inherit. Amen. He gave the parable of the talents, and he said, I'm going to give you to rule and reign with me. We are called to be kings and priests. The seventh angel sounded that there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And guess what? Because we're his son, we get to reign with him. I am telling you that I'm trying to paint you a vision that Bible says, eye hath not seen. Nobody except your family knows your name. Anyone done a Google search for their name? Amen. But I used to do it, and my son Matthew used to come out first, if you just put Brownie, because he had got a little bit famous by writing that song, you know. But the mayor of Milwaukee doesn't even know my name. I'm not sure the alderman, who I've met several times, he may, if he saw me, he might say, I know that face, but I don't remember his name. I've met him several times. He's been through this church before. He may look at me and say, I should know that guy's name. But that's about it. That's about it. But I'm telling you, there's someone who is so much higher than them. Higher than the mayor. Higher than the governor. I heard that the governor's wife was at the one of the ladies' retreats, right? And she spoke. You know, maybe one of you got to shake her hand. I don't know. When I was in high school, quite a few years ago, it was the Queen. When we were living in London, England, it was her Jubilee, 25th Jubilee. And she invited two high school seniors from every school in London to Buckingham Palace to go and meet the Queen. So it was a big deal to see who was going to get chosen, you know, in our senior year. I didn't get chosen. But I didn't mind, because then something else came up and I got to do that, which was so much better. The next thing was a trip, 6-week trip to Jamaica, all expenses paid for two students from my senior year. And because these other two kids had got to go to Buckingham Palace and have tea with the Queen, they were off the list. God had a better thing for God had a better thing for me. Amen. That lasted one afternoon, and there were about 300 or 400 people there. I don't even think she probably, you know, maybe they got to, I don't know if she shook everybody's hand. I got to go to Jamaica for 6 weeks, all expenses paid. That was so much better. Do you remember that? My brother remembers that. That was so much better. I'm telling you, when you wait upon the Lord, the things you think are the birthright that are so big a deal. Esau was so cut up that he didn't get the birthright. What he should have been messed up about was that he didn't get the blessing. But we get not only the heavenly, but as you see, one of these days, we also inherit the earthly. We get both. The things that we don't seek after. When we ask God the right question, Solomon, ask me anything you want. You know what most of us would have asked for? Money. There's a commercial running right now in which this guy gets a magic lantern. Anyone seen it? And that's all is in his mind is money. So he rubs it and says, ask me anything you want. He says, $1 million. You see, we are asking God most of the time the wrong question. And that's why our lives still are not quite where we ought to be. What we should be saying, what should be the question? Anyone? That's it. That's it. We are not smart enough to ask the right question. I will think I know what I want to ask God. But truly what we need to say is, Lord, not my will. Nevertheless, not my will. Jesus gave us the example because we have been called to be his children. But a lot of times, little children, they don't know what to ask for. They ask for the wrong thing. And the thing they're asking for is dangerous, will kill them. But they don't know that. All they think is you're being mean. A lot of times we think God is just being mean because we're asking for the wrong thing. God had mercy on Solomon and he asked for the right thing. He said, Lord, this is too much for me to lead your people. I'm not very smart. And look at this whole nation. If only he had kept up that attitude this whole life. He could have asked for money. He could have asked for something else. He asked for the right thing. He said, Lord, I want your wisdom. So God was so pleased with that. So because you didn't ask for money, I'm going to give you that. And in the end, Solomon ended up being the richest man that ever lived. 25 tons of gold a year for 40 years. He reigned 40 years and he had 25 tons of gold every year brought to him. They threw away silver plates. That was like paper plates. Because he asked the right question. One of these days, we're going to inherit not just the heavenly. Not just the heavenly, but also the earthly. When the angel sounds, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. And we shall reign. He shall reign forever and ever. And guess what? We get to reign with him. And if children, this is what Romans 8 says, then heirs. Who? Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. If so, and here's the part we don't like. If so be that we what? Let's say it again. One more time. Okay. There's a little bit of suffering involved. Paul, you're going to be one of the greatest apostles. So I'm going to tell you the great things you must. Can I be a great apostle without that? I'm afraid not, Paul. Because trials worketh what? And patience. Amen. I'm telling you, we have been called, but there's going to be a little bit of suffering. You're going to have to work in the field for a few years while your younger siblings out there partying and everything's going good for them and you're suffering and the sun is baking and you're thinking, man, I wish I could be out there. But hold on. There's coming a day the Father's going to tell you, son, all that I have, everything I got belongs to you. What's more, I shall never leave you nor forsake you. As I said yesterday on Facebook, maybe in our fleshly life we never had a good father. Maybe he wasn't around. Maybe he was an abuser. Maybe he was an alcoholic. Maybe you didn't have, I don't think there's such a thing as a perfect earthly family. But it does not matter. Because you have been, just like Jacob, he has placed his hand upon you and say, you're going to be mine. He told Joseph, your children are going to be mine. That means they get the inheritance of the Father. It doesn't matter what kind of family situation you came from. Today you can be adopted into a new family. You can have the blessing laid upon you. Amen? And not only will you receive the blessing, but eventually you're going to receive the birthright. Amen. For I reckon, verse 18, for I reckon, he says, I looked it up and I considered everything. I considered everything I've been through. Now, Paul went through a lot. He was stoned, I believe, to death. He was whipped. He said, 5 times I received 39 stripes. That means, you know, Jesus got 39 stripes. Paul got 39 times 5. At different times he was beaten 5 times with one of them whips with the bones and the metal in it. And so every time they hit him, it tore flesh. I bet you when Paul took off his shirt, his back must have been so scarred up. Scarred up. He'd been stoned, beaten, shipwrecked. This is what the great Paul says. For I looked at all of that. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, do you understand, are not worthy. They don't even come close to what heaven and your eternal inheritance is going to be worth, which shall be revealed in us. Amen. I don't know what your week has been like. I don't know how depressed you may be feeling, but I'm telling you, hold on. Hold on. There is coming such a blessing. Amen. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth. We're in the waiting period right now. For the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. Jacob says, I bless you. Ephraim and Manasseh, you're becoming my sons. I'm going to adopt you. You're going to get a portion. And through them, Jacob got a double portion. He got the double portion. Amen. It is the Father's good pleasure, the Bible says. The Father's good pleasure. Amen. He wants us to receive the blessing, the birthright. Let's stand this morning. Let's make the rest of this day Father's Day. Let us be grateful. Let us be thankful. Amen. Let us worship and understand that what God has got for us is so much more than whatever suffering or trial. If we can get to the place to say like Paul, for I reckon, that's old time cowboy speech, I reckon. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. I'm telling you, heaven is going to be something else that shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, hold on some more. Don't let the devil cheat you out of your birthright. Jacob received it through pure grace because 2 kids were sacrificed, a sin offering. They provided the covering for the father. He had no right to it. Jesus has been our sin offering. And he has provided the covering that we can come before the Father and he can lay his hands upon us and we can be adopted and become part of the firstborn and inherit eternal life. And we shall reign and rule with him. Amen. I'm just thankful to God today. I want this to be a special Father's Day. Those of you who may not have had a relationship with your father, your earthly father, you can have one with your heavenly. Do not be discouraged. Do not let the devil cheat you. If you will endure, if you will hold on, there is coming a Father's Day to beat all Father's Day. When you shall not only receive the blessing, but you shall inherit. Amen. If you faint not, there will be a little suffering. One of these days he's going to say, come, come, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Come, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you a leader over many things.